A reading from the first letter of Peter. This is the salvation which the prophets carefully searched out and examined. They prophesied the divine favor that was destined to be yours. They investigated the times and the circumstances which the Spirit of Christ within them was pointed to, for he predicted the sufferings destined for Christ and the glories that would follow. They knew by revelation that they were providing not for themselves, but for you, what has now been proclaimed to you by those who preach the gospel to you in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Into these matters, angels long to search. So gird the loins of your understanding. Live soberly. Set all your hope on the gift to be conferred on you when Jesus Christ appears. As obedient sons, do not yield to the desires that once shaped you in your ignorance. Rather, become holy yourselves in every aspect of your conduct, after the likeness of the Holy One who called you. Remember, Scripture says, "Be holy, for I am holy." The Word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Peter was moved to say to Jesus, "We have put aside everything to follow you." Jesus answered, "I give you my word, there is no one who has given up home, brothers or sisters, mother or father, children or property for me and for the gospel who will not receive in this present age 100 times as many homes, brothers and sisters, mothers, children, and property, and persecution besides, and in the age to come, everlasting life. May those many who are first shall come last, and the last shall come first." The Gospel of the Lord. I was introduced to the historical critical study of the Bible as part of my theological studies before I was ordained. It wasn't too much after Pope Pius XII had approved that kind of biblical study for Catholic scholars. The emphasis at that time, and we're talking 50 to 60 years ago, was on the fact that we could discover a lot about the Bible and answer a lot of questions by investigating carefully the historical circumstances in which the document was written. There was emphasis on the fact that there's not one gospel of Jesus Christ, but 4 different gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that each one should be considered in light of the fact that it was written by an individual living in certain time, at a certain time, and for a certain audience. With regard to the Old Testament, we are to consider, or we were told that we were to consider, the prophet Isaiah, for example, as writing for the people of his time, the times approaching and during the exile of the Jewish people from Jerusalem and from Judea. His message was for them, not for generations later. The warning was, don't read the future back into the past. Now, this approach is obviously at odds with St. Peter's letter, or the letter of Peter today, who he says that they investigated, talking about the prophets, the times and circumstances which the Spirit of Christ was pointing them to. For he, the prophet, predicted the sufferings destined for Christ and the glories that would follow. Obviously, Peter is thinking forward and not backward. We were taught to look back for information about the readings before us, the scripture before us, and understand them in light of the past. Peter is saying we should understand scripture in light of what lies in the future. And, of course, that had been the traditional way of understanding scripture. Now, there is a lot to be learned, a lot that has been learned about scripture from a study of the past, many valuable insights. But we have to remember that scripture was written, yes, by many different authors in many different times, but scripture is really given to us by the church. It is published not as a series of pamphlets, individually authored and with each with its own purpose. It is published as a book who, in however you might express it, whose ultimate author is God. It is a document of faith, an historical document, yes, but a document which we read in light of our faith. Today's gospel makes much the same point, that is, that we need to live looking forward. Jesus, about to enter Jerusalem in triumph and die a week later, was preparing his disciples for what lay ahead for himself and for them. And so he speaks of, or answers Peter's question about how much they have to give up. And he assures them that whatever it is they have to give up, much more lies ahead, even in this life, but above all, in a life to come. We're approaching Lent. It starts tomorrow. And I think that we should approach Lent in this way that we approach Scripture, looking forward, not backward. Of course, we should look back so that we can repent of what we have done wrong in the past. But it is more important, I think, to look forward to what lies ahead. What lies ahead is certainly for each of us a giving up bit by bit of what we have, finally even our lives, giving up control, giving up certainly an emphasis on eating and drinking and spending money on ourselves. Giving up our own self-centeredness and preparing ourselves for what lies ahead, which, yes, is first giving up, but then receiving. Opening ourselves to receive all that God has for us, even eternal life. And these ways are the traditional ways of prayer and fasting and generous self-giving. This, I think, is the way that we need to prepare for Lent, looking forward, not only backward.